Today, glad to have those of you that can be here, and those of you that are joining online, we're glad that you're here as well. This past weekend, Jarrell and I went up to Florence for Angie's funeral, and I want to say again, thank you to all of you that sent her cards and called her and showed her your care and concern over the time that we knew that she was battling cancer. That was much appreciated by her. She mentioned that to me several times, how much she appreciated the congregation here and the notes of encouragement that she received. We had a good visit yesterday with family and friends. Had a nice memorial service that I and Ken Chapman, who used to preach at Helton Drive in Florence, did the service yesterday. So again, thank you very much for your concern for our family. This morning, I want to talk with you about the subject of the phrase one another. There's many passages in the scriptures that teach us that we are to do things together. And I know that kind of goes against what we see right now in the current distress in our society where we're trying not to do things together. But there's so many passages in the Bible that use this phrase one another. And I think certainly at this time we may miss those things more than we sometimes do. But these passages encourage us to be the family of God, especially in the local congregation. And much of the New Testament is centered around congregations, the letters to the churches. In Revelation, you see the letters to the churches in Asia. So there are, there are those in the world that think, well, you don't need the local church. All you need to do is be a Christian. And they see the local church as being something that's optional. But when you think that way, you have to throw out a lot of the New Testament, because the New Testament is written to people that have relationships with one another, and a lot of it is written to correct errors in relationships, as we certainly see in the Corinthian letters, that Paul was writing those to specific groups and instructing them on how they ought to interact together. So there's so much instruction in the scriptures on how we ought to interact one with another. So it's an important subject, and we want to look at that today and in some upcoming studies as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this phrase, one another, and do a series of lessons based on that phrase. And here's the topics that we'll be doing. Today we'll be talking about being members of one another, but we'll also talk about bearing with one another, serving one another, honoring one another, and speaking to one another, confess and pray for one another, submit to one another, forgive one another, and love one another. And so these are some of the one another passages that we'll be looking at in the scriptures. I don't know that we'll do this every week, but we're going to do it over the upcoming weeks and look at this phrase that is so much a part of the New Testament. But today specifically, we want to look in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So here the Apostle Paul declares that we are members of one another. And the idea of being members of one another means that we are connected. And so you see the artwork in the background of the jigsaw puzzle. That's not an accident that we use that, because those pieces fit together. And if you have a jigsaw puzzle where all the pieces aren't there, it's not a whole lot of good, is it? You are usually going to get rid of that one. And so all the pieces are important, and they all fit together to make it be what it ought to be. And so this idea of being members of one another means that just like that puzzle, or just like the body that Paul uses as an example, all those members fit together. They are connected. They are family. And family members are individuals, and certainly we hear a lot of people proclaiming their individuality today, but even though we are individuals and we may talk about our individuality. We are really members of one another. A family that is the right kind of family has many members, but they are members of one another. This picture is talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul talks about the church. The church is talked about as a family or being members of one another. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And so this connection is mentioned here. So this idea that we can be Christians without being connected to anybody is really not the example and the pattern that we see in the New Testament. Being members of one another means that there is a change sometimes about how we interact with others. When we become members of a body of Christ, we interact with each other. And it also it needs to be said that sometimes people will make the social part of a congregation, put too much emphasis on that. We see that today in the social gospel. And so many religious organizations are really focused on doing fun things together, but not so much doing the work of the church as we see in the New Testament. We're not a social club, even though we are social with one another. It's not that we are doing things to be social. We're not a club like Costco's or Sam's. We don't come in and pay our dues and we leave and hopefully, we got what we were looking for when we came. It's not a club, not a hobby. It's described as a family. And a family are members of one another. We're to be connected one another. And so this is the picture that's given to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. That we are one body with many members. And you also will see this same idea stated in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul talks about the members of the body there, and also in Ephesians chapter 4. We won't take time to read all those today, but Paul uses that metaphor many, many times in his letters about the church being a body and how all the pieces of the body or members of the body work together. When we talk about being members of one another, again, we're not talking about being independent and demanding our independence. We're interdependent. That's not a word that we use a whole bunch. We use the word independent quite a bit. But an individual Christian is not going to function effectively or properly in isolation. We have a situation, with my work right now in another state, where there is someone that should be interacting with customers, should be interacting with people, but he's in his basement on lockdown and is not going to come out until there are no cases of COVID in his state. That's a choice that he can make for his safety if he's concerned about that, but it really hampers him in doing the work that he needs to do. I mean, there's only so much you can do through online things. And so what we see in the scriptures, not talking about COVID stuff, but talking about the interaction that we have as a congregation, how effective can we be if we're not together? I know right now we have a temporary situation where we're dealing with this virus, but this is not being together. It's not what we want. It's not what we want to be permanent. We should not have the attitude that, I've always wanted to be isolated, and that I'm so happy that now I can do that. But we live in this culture where people are so fiercely independent. I don't need anybody. I don't want anybody. I don't want people in my life, and I hope nobody ever comes to my door because I'm not going to answer it. I don't want to be joined into anything. Don't put me on a mailing list. Don't make me interact with anybody. And so the closest friend you might have is somebody online on Facebook that gives you a thumbs up when you make a witty comment. And so that's the only interaction that you have with society. That's kind of sad. The New Testament knows nothing about that kind of independence. Christians in the New Testament are always pictured as being joined together and being members of one another. And that's why we see this phrase so much. There's so many scriptures that press us to see that we are members together. And so we want to look at a few of them this morning. One of the first pictures that we see of Christians in the New Testament is described in Acts chapter 2. And I think it's a great example and probably an example that you have thought about as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. All who believed were independent. Nope, doesn't say that. All who believed sat at their homes alone and wondered why nobody ever interacted. No, it says all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And we understand that the context here is so many people from different places were in Jerusalem and they heard the gospel on the day of Pentecost. And probably some of them didn't leave right away. And there were needs that were there. And the people took care of those needs. They interacted together. And when they saw that someone needed something, they sold their possessions as anybody had need. There's really not a whole lot of negativity that you can see there in that passage. Is there? Isn't that something you'd like to be part of, be part of a group of people that cared about one another the way that they do? They were together. They had all things in common. And it's just a real beautiful and stunning picture of their togetherness. They spent time together in the temple, worshiping God. They spent time in their houses, eating together. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the Corinthians, they were called to be saints together. That's in his introduction in the book. In Romans chapter 15, Paul told the Christians in Rome to live in harmony with one another so that with their one voice, their unified voice, they could glorify God. Paul told when he wrote to the Corinthians, he told them at least four different times, you know, that when they came together, that they were to take the Lord's Supper. And Paul told the Ephesian Christians that they were made alive together with Christ and not separately. And so those are just a few examples that Paul over and over uses that phrase and talks about things that they are to do together. In Ephesians chapter 2, he told them that they were to be joined together and built together as a holy temple. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So he uses the example of a physical building that is put together pieces, but it all comes together into one unit, and you're to be the same. You're also a holy temple. And so we are constantly pictured as the body of Christ, and that demands us to have interaction with one another. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul told the Colossians a couple of times that they were to be knit together. You know, Jarrell has taken up knit. It is knitting, right? It's crocheting. Okay, well, same thing. But it's not the same thing, but you Google it and find out what the difference is. But the idea there is you take the yarn and you're doing something together and it's stitching it together, right? It's making it into something useful. And when Paul talks about the Colossians being knit together, it means that they're going to be held together like a piece of fabric. And so there's no scriptures that are telling us, we want you to be self-sufficient. We want you to be independent. We want you to be disconnected. That's not the way that we are to be. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 4, again, where Paul describes us as one body with many members. What happens if you have a body part that's not attached to the body? Is it going to live? One thing that maybe we've told some of you, because it was kind of a funny situation, but it was pretty soon after Jarell and I got married. But I had a bad car accident back in the past, and I had a rod in my femur that was going to be taken out. And so when I went into Kirkland Clinic for that surgery, you know, they put you under the happy gas or whatever it is to get you all relaxed. And so I'm not totally knocked out, and so I'm saying funny things. And I asked Jarell, I said, "Jarell, if my eyeball fell out of my head and rolled onto the floor, could I put it back in and it still work?" And she said, "No, I don't think so." And you know, it probably wouldn't work, would it? I'm sure it's attached somehow. It's not just going to pop back in and be fine. But when I think about this illustration of Paul describing the body as having many members, and imagine if the member is not connected to the body, the eye that gets disconnected from the body is not going to be any good anymore. Can you? And sometimes, you know, not to get gross, but if there is something that's severed, they may be able to put it back, but maybe not. A disconnected body part is a very bad situation, and so you don't want that. And Paul is using this illustration that all the parts are to work together. The body must work together, must be connected together for it to function properly. What do teachers do in the classroom if they see a student that's not participating? They probably try to get them to participate. They try to do something. They try to get them involved. They don't ignore them and say, "Well, I guess they're never going to participate." You know, one of the things that we do as camp directors, we want to make sure, especially with the new campers, and one thing that we did when we started directing camp is if there was a first-time camper, we would identify them when they came in, and they had a button that said first-time camper. That way, all the other campers knew that they were to pay special attention to that person, to include them, and the staff would know to include them, because, you know, it's a little disconcerting to somebody that's new when there's 400 kids there that all seem to know each other and you're the one that doesn't know anybody. And so we wanted them to be involved. We wanted them to feel a part. And so we understand that in so many different social situations, whether it's a new employee that, you know, Brennan just started a new job. One of the first things that they did at Publix was take him around and introduce him to all the managers of the different departments. They want him to feel like he's a part. They want him to know people. They want people to know him. And so we are to be connected. And so in a congregation, if elders see that you're not connected and not participating, they're going to ask, what's wrong? Why are you disconnected from the rest of the body? You know, that's a problem. It's not that elders want to invade somebody's privacy. We understand that if you're disconnected, there's a problem. You understand that with children in school and employees in the workplace, that if somebody is disconnected from others, then there's a problem. The body cannot be that way. It cannot function that way. And this series that we're going to do is going to help us to do the things that are described as the one another passages, the one another things that we ought to be doing. Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, new thinking. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned." So if you notice, as you read through Romans chapter 12 and the following verses, everything is going to follow from this phrase. These things that are designed to instruct us on how we ought to interact with each other all flow from this idea that you really shouldn't be thinking too highly of yourself. When you look in verse 4, it says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." So So all these things that Paul talks about in the following verses all jump off of this idea here in verse 3, that you ought not to think too highly of yourself, but think with sober thinking. And so think properly about who you are, and in particular, what you are when you are together and how you interface with others. And it's only when we can have the right thinking about ourselves that we really have the right relationships with others. So if you think back to our series on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, what did Jesus tell us to do? There were a lot of things that were instructed about your attitude toward yourself, that you were to be poor in spirit, mourn over sins, hunger and thirst for righteousness, are all attributes of those who are in Christ's kingdom. And Christ is certainly always our standard for measurement on how we ought to think about ourselves. And Paul mentioned this same concept to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." So Paul says to be of the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Can you think of how successful would Jesus have been in carrying out his mission if all he thought about was Jesus, 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 me, me, me? It wouldn't have worked at all, would it? I mean, when you think about Jesus, do you think about somebody that was selfish and always looking out for his own interest? Obviously not. Jesus was always looking for the interest of others, and the fact that he came and died for us and endured the pain and the ridicule that he did showed that he was somebody that lived selflessly and not selfishly. And Paul is saying, you need to be like that. Don't think about yourself. Look at others and hold them into higher esteem than yourself. And that's very, very hard for the individualist to do, because the one who wants to be the individual is all about himself. If you're going to be members of one another, you have to put that aside and you have to follow the example of Christ. There's no way for us to be the household of God that he would have us to be if we're selfish. It's not going to work. The work of the Lord cannot be accomplished in this place if all we think about is ourself. So when we come together and we participate in services together, when we come together in other places, when we interact with each other, when we encourage each other, it's a good thing. And sometimes we tend not to do things. Does it inconvenience me? Is it something that I don't want to do? I'm tired, and we're thinking about ourselves when those kind of things creep into our brain. Again, what we're seeing here in the Scriptures is this phrase, one another. And the church really cannot function if we think, well, I don't have to do that. Everybody else can do these things, but I'm not going to interact with anybody. And we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is different members, but all participating together with the same function, or making things happen. So we need to think properly about ourselves. We are members of one another. We belong together. And you know, you're not here for you. You're here for others, and you'll get something out of that too. And you are an encouragement to others. Your display of faith, your support, your desire to serve God, it has an effect on others. And being members of one another means we don't neglect one another. We do things for each other, even if it might be uncomfortable, inconvenient. But when we're not selfish, we can do those things. So we are going to look at more of these phrases on the phrase one another in the next few weeks. And I know this will be a good series for us to look at. And I think it's probably going to make us look even more forward to the day that we can be together more than we are right now. Because the good thing that has happened during these few months, I think it has caused us to want to do that more. In fact, yesterday we were in an outdoor pavilion for the funeral, and my brother Alan was going to lead singing, and it being outdoors, you know how singing is outside sometimes, it just the sound just dissipates and you can't hear anything. But the acoustics were really, really good in this pavilion, and it made me want to have a singing, is what it made me want to do, because the singing there sounded so good and made me miss, when we do that together. So we have a lot of things to look forward to when we can be together and be more of an encouragement to one another by being physically present. But I'm encouraged by the things that we even do now in the current situation that we are in, the desire that people have to interact with one another, through social media, through phone calls or whatever. Let's make sure that we do that, because we have that relationship. Most of the New Testament is written about the relationship that we have with one another. And so I would encourage you in that way. Hope this will be a lesson for you that will help you grow spiritually and draw closer to one another. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.